Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow us at the 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports, our YouTube channel, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Check out the site, www.the110nationsportsradionetwork, with all the links and tabs to all the different platforms you can catch us on, iHeart, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, you name it, pretty much there. Make sure you guys check that out. Tuesday nights, Race Chat Live, 8:30 Eastern Time. Tomorrow night, we got Safety to Success, Jared. I know he's got some great guests. I know we all missed last week's show. Blog Talk Radio had a lot of technical difficulties, at least Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm not sure the rest of the days, as we don't have shows on the rest of the days right now, but I know Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday last week, we were all unable to do shows. So I'm just glad to be able to be back in the studio, glad to be back in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Hopefully Mario is joining us tonight. Not 100% sure. Just glad to be back. It throws like the whole entire week off when you don't get an opportunity to do the show. And just glad to be able to do this tonight and hang out at least for a little while by myself. Hopefully not, and we'll see where this takes us. I don't know. I'd like to say a lot's happened in the last 2 weeks. I don't know if it really has, though. We got the NBA coming down the last couple games here. It's kind of interesting to see, especially out west, where everybody's going to fall. I know the Lakers losing last night kind of hurt their hopes a little bit. We'll see how that plays out. Golden State, on the other side, on the flip side of that, that helped their possibilities of what they got going on. How about Phoenix Suns? Clippers, that was who they played. Clippers out to a 35-4 lead at the end of the first. That mess is crazy, and that's with Clippers not even having all their players playing. You had some resting. And Phoenix had all their starters, 35-4. Of course, the Suns did come back a little bit. I want to say that the Clippers ended up winning by like 14 points. It was like 134-120. It is crazy to me, though, that we have a team like Phoenix that's kind of all in on trying to win a championship, and here we are at the end of the season, and you're still playing for seeding in the Western Conference, and you can't manage to be a team that's resting some of their players. But anyway, UFL. You know, we talked about United Football League, and we talked about the fact that they took the XFL, the USFL. I think, and it definitely showed this last weekend, that we got better quality football, spring football, because of it. Essentially, we took 16 mediocre at best teams and made 8 good, above average. I don't know which, how do you want to label it? What I would really like to see is I would like to see either a college team like Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, what that would be pre Saban leaving Alabama, a couple of these bigger football programs or an NFL team play against the USFL. And the reason I want to see, because we went from 16 mediocre at best teams and basically cut that in half, got 8 teams now of better quality players. We're able to shed out of spring football some of the players that essentially were just put on teams to fill rosters, not that they were really any future of any of these organizations, the NFL or any other league. But now we get 8 quality teams, and this last weekend we got to see good quality games. We got to see 4 games that was a one-score game, a lot of them coming down to last possessions and final plays. That's what we needed. That's what we wanted. Versus only having, the difference in why it's important to me for the UFL to be able to make it and even possibly expand, it's got to be good competitive football. And I think that was part of what hurt these two leagues and having 16 mediocre at best teams. Because if you got a couple of them stacked, then it was horrible to watch when you only had 4 games and you're watching blowout games. And it's important, I feel, with the UFL for success is for most, if not all, of these games continuously being competitive games. And I can't remember the scores from week 1, but it seemed like we had quite a few, if not all, competitive games as well. There might have been one game that was a snoozer, but it's important to the UFL because you only got 4 games. It's not like the NFL and there's 16 games or on the bye weeks, 14 games or whatever is on the schedule for us to choose from. And we flipped through games and got plenty of highlights. But when you only got 4 games for the entire weekend and you're trying to build and expand this and this product and everything, you got to hope and pray that you got it right and you got 8 teams that are pretty competitively close. So the fans get very competitive games. And this last weekend, they hit it. Like, if every weekend is like this last weekend, and I'm not saying that these games were these over-the-top, phenomenal games, and oh my God, you know, we're going to be talking to our kids and grandkids, and there's going to be the UFL Network channel, and we're going to be talking about these games and the inaugural, and I'm not talking about all that. But I'm talking about 4 games. There's a lot of NFL weekends we're lucky out of 16 games to end up with 4 games that are last possession games that are one-score games. It don't even happen every weekend in the NFL. And to go 100%, that's what the UFL needed. That's what makes this weekend great for them. I am, without knowing the financial situations of these organizations and the TVs and everything else, The attendance is kind of bothersome. Except the St. Louis game, they said there was 40,000 people. It was 40,000 is a pretty big crowd for football. Any team. I've been to Cincinnati Bengals games that I know there was not 40,000 in there. Matter of fact, it was Thanksgiving of 2018. My son and I, before I moved back to Ohio, came home for Thanksgiving week or Thanksgiving weekend, whatever it was. And for Christmas, my brother had got us Cleveland Browns versus Cincinnati. And one, Cincinnati is 45 minutes to an hour drive. Cleveland's out of 4 or 5 hours. But also my mother is a Cincinnati fan, unfortunately. And so, of course, she was going to buy tickets for the Cincinnati Stadium. Bengals weren't no good, and I think it was like the first year with Mayfield. I think we were just barely below a 500 record that year, and we blew out the Bengals that game, and there was hard. It was a cold day. It might have even been a wet day, and the Bengals weren't. It might have been pre-Joe Burrow. It might I think it had to be pre-Joe Burrow, because I think Joe Burrow's been there 5 years already. I think they were in a transition, and the quarterback really wasn't no good, if I remember correctly. But, hell, there weren't even 40,000 fans there. So I feel that for the St. Louis football game, good for them. Great turnout. The rest of the games, while I'm watching and seeing all the highlights that I watched, not so confident of the turnout. And where this is kind of discouraging for me, especially when it comes to the UFL. So I'm excited about the UFL. I'm excited, one, to have spring football. I'm excited to have one more thing to talk about, one more thing to be sitting here in the studio having a conversation about, one more season. If it be 8 games, I think they're 8 or 10 game seasons of football. I you know, it's funny listening to my wife, because she's like, I've known sports fans, like, I've known guys that are sports guys, but like, you take it to a whole different level. And so there's two things in my life when it comes to viewership and what my interests are and what I want to do in my life and everything else. And it's one is sports, and the other's got to do with the stock market. Honestly, if I could sit home all day long and do sports shows, watch sports stuff and stock stuff, I'd be a happy guy. If I can make myself be able to be that, and that's what I do, then, you know, that's what I'd love to do. So I'm excited about the UFL, or more specifically spring football. It just happens to be the UFL. I was honestly excited about the XFL, the actual XFL, when it returned after the COVID, because of the hype and everything that it brought pre-COVID. And I really hate the fact that COVID shut that down. So I think we wouldn't even be talking about the USFL again, because it shut down. And I don't think we'd be talking about the UFL. I think we would just be strictly talking about an XFL league. I think the USFL probably would have folded and stayed folded, and XFL would have continued on growing. But that's not what happened. Now we got these two mergers. And the other thing I like about it is, and why I'm excited about the whole spring football concept here, is we get an opportunity to see them try things to see if they work for the NFL. Because now at this point, we're just in a whole partnership, and all this is together is basically one whole farming system, test system package. And I'm fine with that. Anything to help the quality of the NFL, I am all for. And I hope they figure it out, before we end up changing another rule and killing the sport again, as now we eliminate the drop tackle or drop hit tackle, or basically you better hope that when you go to tackle somebody, they just fall straight to the ground and give up, because if not, you're subject to being flagged and personal fouls, and it's ridiculous. So I'm hoping that sooner than later we get the UFL to try to figure out and have some rules in place to test to see if we can fix what the NFL keeps screwing up. And plus the farming system of these players. I had an opportunity the last 2 weeks to see some amazing players, to see some phenomenal plays. And this is why I would love to see either a top college team program play an XFL team, or I'm sorry, a UFL team, or a pro NFL team. And it could be really anyone. I'd at least want one that would be mediocre, mid of the pack kind of team. Not Kansas City, but not necessarily. I don't know. Was the Raiders who sucked this last year? I'm trying to think who all sucked. The Bengals didn't do good this year, but that's, you know, their quarterback situation is not so much, you know, what I expect out of them next year. But the Jets, because of Aaron Rodgers go down, not somewhere in those two. Just we have a good swallow. That way we don't have a U.S. or UFL team beat a crappy NFL team. And, wow, you know, they really are. But I don't want Kansas City to go beat, or the 49ers to go beat the crap out of a USFL team. And we sit here and talk about how much of a joke the UFL is. I'd like to see, you know, a mediocre team, a team that they have would or should have a legitimate shot, especially if this is truly a farming system and we got 8 teams with quality players. This would be able to let us know the quality, really what the quality is. How good are these teams? Are we watching a bunch of average teams play each other? It just looks great because they're all average. Are these teams really good and they're really good games because they're both really good teams? Like, what are we truly? We don't have a measuring stick. So, I mean, I guess we could say the same thing about the NFL, but I feel with 32 teams, you get a better measuring stick versus just 8 teams in how good these 8 teams truly are. You know, because as far as most of them, or a lot of them, have gone to college and played at the college level. So, you know, they've at least played at that level. Some have played at the NFL. Some didn't make the NFL. Some they're using this as an opportunity to hopefully stepping stone into the NFL. So, you know, when we sit here and watch, and I watch these games, you know, is this player really that good? Like, I believe his name was Durant. I want to say it was for St. Louis. It was a blue jersey. I'm still trying to learn it all, and the new names and everything else. He was running all over. I want to say it was against Michigan. I know St. Louis and Michigan played. So I just don't remember if that was the game or not. Now, was he really that good of a running back? Did I really see him, like, you know, or is it, you know, a bunch of mediocre teams and the defense just happened to be a little less mediocre, a little less than mediocre, and he just looked really like, you know, so I'd really like to have a true measuring stick of what we're watching before I, you know, oh, my God, this UFL stuff. But more specifically, like I said, I like the fact that, A, we got spring football. This is a dead time. Like, we got the NBA in the last couple games, and yes, for the few spots that are open, it's exciting that the season comes to an end, but most of these seats have already been set. So, you know, we're watching a lot of players rest and a lot of lopsided games that really don't matter. And baseball, we're what, a couple weeks in at best? So there's, you know, you're talking another 140, 50 games to go. So it's a long haul. And NASCAR, we're not even 10 races in. So we're still early, fresh on that. And what else we got going on? There's no NFL. There's no college. We got spring game for Ohio next Saturday. I don't know when everybody else's spring game is. We're starting to get in. We've done finished the tournament in the NCAA. UConn men's take it again. So we're kind of in a spot in sports where it's great to have spring football. It's good to have, you know, another option because the options are kind of slim picking. Unless you want to sit and watch every baseball game for your team, and it's not to get it against it. I got Dayton Dragons coming up, not this weekend, next weekend. No, next weekend. But I'm one of those. Even when I was into and more and more so had a Major League Baseball team, I wasn't keeping up with all 162 games. Like, I pop my head in there. I watch highlights. I remember growing up watching SportsCenter left to right when it actually was something worth watching to watch baseball highlights and everything else. You know, I sit there and watch them all day long, but I'm not going to watch all 162 games. And so there's not a lot to watch right now. So having one more option, and that's also another good, great thing about it, still being young anyway, and there not being a lot of teams. There's only four games you got to keep up with. So, you know, we're throwing one more sport on there with what's going on right now, but it's not overwhelming. We're not trying to keep up with 16 games. We only got to keep up with four games to catch the highlights, to watch the games. So that's really cool. I'm trying to figure a team that I want to, I guess, be a fan of. I kind of picked and kind of was a fan of the D.C. D.C. Defenders the first year around, but that's because they had Cordell Jones from Ohio State, and, you know, I was cheering him on. I have not had anybody in any of the games that I've seen of anybody that makes me want to pull for that team, so I'm still trying, and there's none that's really close enough. The wife was asking today, is there a team in Ohio, which, of course, there's not. Well, there only be in eight markets, and we're talking about this. That's where who's the closest, which we happen to be watching the highlights of the Memphis Showboats game, and if I remember fact right here, so I don't know if we'll ever make a trip to go see one of these games. I wouldn't mind. There's not really too many sports I won't go watch, but yeah. So the UFL, we got some football back. It's good. Very good. How about that women's basketball? Some crazy stuff there. Iowa, more so Caitlin, at an LSU, Iowa game, and the ratings and the viewership. It's crazy because, one, it's something that, I mean, obviously set records. Like, it beat a lot of things, a lot of men's sports things. But it took Caitlin, who's setting all these records and doing her thing, and people wanting to watch her and LSU and the chick from LSU after the chick from LSU ran her mouth and everything else. And the stuff was so, I don't know. Because then all of a sudden she went from the old running her mouth thing to being the victim thing and everything else. Like, you're leaving early for the NBA draft. You're making millions. You're putting yourself in the spotlight. But the things you do, the things you post, the way you act, and then you act shocked after putting yourself in the spotlight and doing the things you do, that people have their opinions and their criticisms and everything else. I have people that have their opinions about me. I have my opinions about people, and they're just everyday people that work 9 to 5 and don't have NIL deals and everything else and not on the national stage. So if you can imagine all the everyday people having that kind of hate their life or jealousy in life or just whatever, what do you think was going to happen when you got these ridiculous NIL deals? You decide to leave to go to I'm not hating on if you're leaving early to go to the draft. That's true. I'm just saying, what do you think? LSU fans probably upset as well. And what'd you think when you start yapping at the gums and getting cocky and just holding yourself the way you held yourself? What'd you think was going to happen when you got beat? Well, don't play the victim. You can't yap, then want to yelp and perhaps someone will come to your defense. So we'll never see anything. It would have to take two national attention headlines that had some kind of path crossing like the two last year in the tournament to even come close to, and you're talking, I don't know, it's going to take a lot. We've done road this path once, so I mean you're talking crushing records, possibly undefeated kind of season. And had some kind of crossing at some point in the season and against somebody that's basically running the same kind of season as you. And one of you maybe just has one loss and that's, you know, where this beef stemmed from, or you both run undefeated, yapping to the gums. I don't know, something that, and I'm talking like off the chain, phenomenal record setting for both, back and forth, kind of like your Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, back and forth for the home run, to have anything close to the national attention that we saw for that Iowa-LSU game. That was just, I don't know, just insane to me, because there are so many more games that we see on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis that we know was so much more competitively better to watch. The storylines were probably even better. Out of these two storylines were pretty. This whole storyline with them, that was great. But there's been some that have been just as good, if not better. And games that, and teams that were legit, there was a reason to be hype around it. And we didn't have that type of viewership. Like, I don't get how we pick and choose what the trend is. What are we watching this week? Crazy. Said UConn, repeat, beat Purdue. Now it's like this time to get ready for college football. The Ohio State Buckeyes, they have their spring game this Saturday. Not a big fan of watching it. It's kind of about almost same version of the NFL, kind of a flag football scenario. You're not allowed to tackle. You're not allowed to touch quarterback. There's a lot of things you just can't do. So it's not really a purpose for the spring games. It's always interesting to see the crowd turn out. I like kind of seeing where the atmosphere is for these teams, what the how the fans are. I worked in Chapel Hill, and so not that the Tar Heels football team was really any ever good ever, but more specifically, while I was bouncing in Chapel Hill, and you're talking probably 2008 to 2012, 13-ish, maybe 2007, somewhere in that ballpark. I know that I was there when Hansborough and Ty Lawson all then won the basketball team won the national title. But I know what it was like. I know what it was like the night that Notre Dame came into Chapel Hill with Brady Quinn as the quarterback, and that was, you know, those years where Notre Dame was a pretty legit, I'm not going to say legit, but they were a competitive team. I know the last time I felt that Notre Dame was actually legit, but they were a competitive team. They were nationally ranked, and they came to Chapel Hill, which I don't even know if UNC was even nationally ranked in the top 25 or anything at that point in time. And UNC won. And I know what the town was like. I know what the club was like that I was working. Insane. I know when UNC teams are on the up and up, there's a lot more activity. It's go happy. Money's being spent. When UNC football sucks, football season is dead. And when the basketball team sucks, it's even worse. I know the year that UNC played Dayton in the NIT, it was either Dayton or Ohio State. I want to say it was Dayton. In the NIT tournament, and Dayton won. I bet you they're the same club that I it was so crazy that football night that it was the first, night that I was left in charge and pretty much by myself to run the front door and pull security. I might have had a newbie as my inside guy, but it was my first night at the door. I hadn't been working for my best friend that long at that point in time. It ended up going on for four or five years after that. But the only thing he said is the capacity is like 101, but you can let people in. I don't know how many people we had in that club, but it was well over 100 people. You could even get in the door. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even hardly. They had an outdoor patio with tables and a whole area. You couldn't even, like, when people paid, and we only did a $3 door fee to get in, I couldn't even get people through the front gate to even get on the patio, let alone into the club, is how packed it was. To go from that to watching UNC lose an NIT tournament, and there might have been five people in the entire same club during the NIT championship game, that tells you the difference in the college atmosphere when it comes to sports, especially like UNC basketball for UNC, Ohio State with football, Michigan with football, Alabama with football, UConn with basketball, you know. And so I don't even know why we even this whole conversation football and the fans in Chapel Hill. Ohio State in the spring game, and I don't know, I just have the only thing good about it, like I said, was just the crowd turned out to see what the fans say. Fans usually are a good indicator. You can go to football game, there'd be hardly anybody there. Go, you know, next season, and it could be a packed stadium, and the quality of players and team is totally different. But usually your fans know. Usually the diehard fans start flooding back in, if they, especially their season hold tickets, don't necessarily go to the games when you suck all the time, but soon as that program's expected to have turned around, then everybody else just kind of follows suit. That's what's kind of good about at least seeing the highlights or just kind of seeing pictures of these spring games. You kind of get an idea of the atmosphere, what's expected, who we're liking, what, you know, they're just a lot. There's a few false indicators. Colorado was one of them. People came out, thought it was cool to be, not that we're expecting to win a national title or be a serious threat, they just thought it was cool to be out there and Deion Sanders and all that. And they all thought it was cool at the beginning of the season until reality slapped them in the face, just like Caleb Williams. Good Lord, I can't wait till we get through this NFL draft. I am so – there's been two other quarterbacks. I'm trying to think who the second – oh, two other quarterbacks that we've had about just as much hype. And only one of these three have even won a national title game. And only reason they won their national title games, they played a beat-up and injured Alabama team. And that's Trevor Lawrence. But you got Andrew Luck, who was like supposed to be the next coming. Then you had Trevor Lawrence, who couldn't do no wrong. And now we got Caleb Williams, who you had a little bit of hype in the beginning of the season, and then it seemed like he couldn't win a football game, then he's crying. And now he's saying that you draft me, I'm gonna be, I want to be part owner. You ain't done dilly squat to this point at all. I don't even know why or what these NFL teams are thinking if they waste an early first-round draft pick on him. And we've yet to see him do anything against anybody legit. But I just can't wait till we get into this draft because I am so over it, and I'm ready to be past it. And I'm ready to not have to hear about him or where he's going to go, and kind of get a laugh at whatever team's got to deal with wasting a first-round draft pick on Caleb Williams. Oh, for the love of God, can we get past all this? Can we just get to the draft so we do not have to be consumed with headlines of a player that has done nothing at all? Oh, Lord, that was just like Andrew Luck. Like, it was this... the best player since Peyton Manning and blah, 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 and all this other stuff I heard. Didn't win a national title. You got a little bit of national television. Jim Harbaugh was your coach. You guys couldn't finish the deal, and you get drafted, and I mean, Indianapolis didn't really accomplish much under, you know, we didn't go to an AFC championship game. I'd be willing to bet he probably hardly won any playoff games. Kind of was like a Drew Bledsoe. A lot of passing attempts, a lot of passing yards, a lot of interceptions, and a lot of touchdowns. That's just what happens. Nothing to brag about. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to be an even bigger flop out of these three. Well, not out of these three names. Caleb Williams would be the biggest. But all this hype about Trevor Lawrence. One, when you got anybody bragging that he never lost a high school football game, first of all, let's look at the schooling system in the district and let's compare the quality of teams. Because there are some districts and some school systems that there's only one or two teams that are legit. So, yes, they're going to run the table. There was a point in time, this high school team that I went to, they were running the table, going to state championship games. They won the state championship. There's also the downside to all that. It looks good, but doesn't mean that Trevor Lawrence was that great. There was a point in time that the Wayne Warriors, the same high school team, winning football games, come to find out, paying players to be able to live in this district and put people in houses and everything else and end up losing his job. Am I delusional to think that's the only high school football coach doing this? Sadly enough, no, I don't think that's the only one. And then schools get redistricted, and some people can't. Like, there's many reasons why you could have one, maybe two teams that could run the table for two or three years. So to say that is crazy to me. Then y'all want to run your mouth about him and what he did Clemson. So he beat up on the ACC, We're going to brag about this. The ACC. That's who you, not the SEC. We'll make sure we got the right letters here. The ACC in football. Remember, not the SEC, the ACC. You didn't beat up on the Big Ten. Really, your only big games outside of your, that was not conference, because you didn't play that many out-of-conference games. You played a lot of ACC games. You played two SEC teams that were weak that you played. I forget. I had a whole article about it. And then when we talk about the national title run, you one of them was the worst call ever on against Ohio State that got them to win one of their games. And I think that's the year they went to the national title and won that they shouldn't have won. And the other one, Alabama, was hurt. Most of their team was hurt, and so they won the national title that year. They lost the second year, the year that they beat Ohio State, they shouldn't have won. Actually, one of the worst calls ever in Fiesta football bowl game history. Ohio State should have went to the national title game and won that one. One of the years he's played nobody. You played in the ACC. You played for a coach that got caught stealing signals in when Ohio State beat Clemson that last time. I think we beat them to go play Alabama, or so I forget who we played. I know we waited to the very last second to send in the signals because we know Dabo was cheating and stealing signals, and that's when we ended up crushing them that game because they didn't know our plays. And so, of course, I'm not surprised that you've really not done anything in the NFL. Last year was even a worse season, and I'm not really expecting much out of this season. Matter of fact, I think Houston's going to run the table in the AFC South. Tennessee has made a couple moves in the offseason, but it seems that Houston is the front runner of trying to be all in and win not only the South, but a Super Bowl. So, I'm beyond tired of hearing about this whole Caleb Williams and, oh, where is he going to go? Is he going to be the first quarterback? And what? Dude, he ain't done nothing. There should not be this much hype. At least with Andrew Luck, he helped put Stanford on at least in the national spotlight by having, 10-2 and 11-1 or whatever season. Like, they had good seasons and played quality. They played West Coast quality football. And I know this is going to piss people off. There's different quality of football. There's the SEC and Big Ten quality football. You know, your smash mouth, top of the line football programs. Then there's the ACC that's, you didn't tell me Duke, and if I have not actually seen the Duke football program, I would question if there was even a Duke football program. You have one program every once in a blue moon that does well. And for all those that were boo-hooing about Florida State, this is what happens when you play a weak-ass schedule. And then also your conference is the ACC that is nobody's. You're not going to get a playoff bid even if you're undefeated when you play nobody all year long. I remember when Boise State and TCU's before they did all this that people complained, oh, why are they not in the national title? You played nobody all year long. Same thing out west. Oregon, Stanford, all of them can beat up on each other. Nobody wanted to believe me when I said that when Washington had to play a legitimate football team in this playoffs, that it was not going to go well. That's what happens. You're not playing the same quality football. As much as I hate, and this is with the all caps, hate the SEC, I have enough common sense and enough respect and enough knowledge to know that Ohio State and SEC, they are the bar when it comes to the football programs. And then after that, it is a steep and dramatic drop-off until you talk about other conferences. And there's really, honestly, not much of any other conference really to talk about. You have a couple key teams, player contenders here and there. You got your Texas every once in a while, besides the show and be a contender. You got your Oklahoma every once in a while. Oregon's never really been a serious threat, but you got people out there and some analysts that like to throw them in the conversation. But I couldn't tell you if in my lifetime Oregon was ever seriously considered for a national title shot or a favorite to win the national title. I can't ever in 46 years recall a time. It's just different. It's a different quality. Just like when it comes to basketball, there's a different quality when it comes to ACC. Therefore, ACC becomes more the bar for me. You got a couple outliers. UConn is one of those outliers. They play in a conference and they play well above it, and they have to really put an impressive bid in all season long, not just coast through and beat their conference. They really got to do their thing so they get these bids and get a chance to be in it. A little bit easier in basketball because you got 64 plus play-in games, so you got a bigger opportunity to make a serious bid at a national title or at least even a playoff or a bowl game or whatever, how you want to be comparatively. But ACC is the bar. And then I have SEC just slightly below that. I feel there's a lot of different programs in the SEC that are really good, some better than others. Alabama was really good this year. Florida usually stands up strong. LSU has its years. Consistently, though, the SEC puts out quality basketball. Big Ten, I think, is a little bit of below that tier or around that tier. I feel everyone, you had Purdue in the national title game. I think a year or two ago you had Michigan, but there was nobody else. Like, okay, Purdue was a threat, but nobody else was really a serious threat in the Big Ten. The year Michigan ran, like, nobody else was really considered a serious threat. And so that's the issue with the Big Ten. There's just not enough. It's not like the ACC where you consistently have two teams that are always considered a threat. Then you have your outliers that like to kind of make things interesting every once in a while. Same with the SEC. You know, you kind of at least have one program. It may rotate, but one program is consistently good. And then you'll have another one that'll rotate. That'll be your second good. So Big Ten is not even every year that we have a good program. And then the rest of them just kind of trickle through. I said, you got your outliers. You got a programs like UConn that, you know, they're just completely in a different league of their own in their own conference. But anyway, I don't think there's anything else I wanted to, jibber-jabber in. I get things wrapped up for tonight, and tomorrow's early boarding, got a lot going on. Make sure that you guys, you check out our site, 110NationSportsRadioNetwork.com. It's got our shows, it's got some blogs, things start to calm down. I'm about to be fully staffed again. Hopefully everybody stays. It'll free me up to be able to do more things. It'll free me up to be able to get back into doing more videos and blogs and everything else. But you can check them out over there. Our show schedules, sponsors, our marketing partners, and then they're on the main page. I think at the bottom of the rest of the pages, all the different tabs to all the different platforms we're on, if it be iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, podcast chasers, Spreaker, you name it, we are on it. YouTube, check out our YouTube channel, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports, Instagram, the 110 Nation. But make sure you guys check us out. Tuesday nights, 8:30, you got Race Chat Live. You got Taz and Chris in the studio every week. And then I know that when possible, Miss Lee and Craig also join. And then tomorrow night on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network is Safety to Success. It's a great show. I know he's got a couple guests lined up for tomorrow night's show. Season 2, Safety to Success. Let's see what he's got going on. Owner of Race Logic Chassis School coming on to talk about new safety class putting for school. Going to be talking to local dirt track racing and safety. Mr. Donald Parker, owner of Hattiesburg Speedway, House of the Hook, on to talk about racing out there at the track. And announcer at Michael Hussman, which he has been part of the 110. He is, I'm actually part of 110. He's been on one of the race shows, or I think he's been on Race Chat Live a few times. He's friends with both the hosts of that show. He's going to be coming on to talk about Jackson Motor Speedway. So great show planned for Safety to Success right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. So make sure you guys check us out. Go over to our Facebook, give us a like, help us out, help us. And make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel. Help us continue to grow. Like I said, we'll be getting back in the studio, and we'll be working on doing some more videos and clips of the shows. It just been short-staffed, and the wife going through surgeries and everything else, and we're still going through the wife stuff, and just not had a lot of time to sit in the studio and do a lot of things. And then also the brother has a lawn care business, well, had a lawn care business, and because of it being seasonal, he just decided he couldn't do it anymore as a full-time occupation, so he's got a full-time job. So starting this summer, him and I, 3 days a week, are tackling about 15 yards. Unfortunately, the rain, it's been nonstop rain today. It's supposed to rain the next 2 days. We got 12 of them in. Yeah, 12 of them in. No, 13 of them in. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's usually going to be the days we do them. We still have three more that we got to knock out before the end of the week. The weather's just not been cooperative, so it was all we could do to hustle to get those three in. And with these yards being as saturated as they are, but we're getting everything figured out. Things work are settling down a little bit as I'm getting more help. So we're going to be in the studio more. Got a lot more things going on this season for the 110 Nation. Hell, we turned 13 5 days from now, whatever day of the week that is. 2 days ago was, so yeah, Monday. Turned 13. That is crazy to know. We've been doing this that long. That's insane. It's insane how much we have spent to do this for 13 years. Oh, Lord, you guys don't want to have any idea with the sites and the different platforms. And some of them I do to pay to get things syndicated on different platforms, so it gets syndicated on other platforms, and then the websites and the hosting of the websites. And oh Lord, 13 years paying out of pocket. The goal was always to eventually be able to turn a profit, and really that's what we wanted, just to do period and not to work in any other job. There's been a couple of different times we have made money. At this point, I just spent a bunch of money on it and spent a bunch of time. And but I got to say kudos to those that have been around. I think Ms. Lee's been around for like 10 years, just volunteering, helping out. And Chris has probably been around about 8 years. I want to say Craig's probably been around 6-7 years. Taz, maybe 4-6 years, somewhere in that ballpark. Jared, a couple years. Mario's been, who's usually my co-host, has been a marketing partner for a couple of years, been a co-host for, I don't know, coming up on a year. So can't complain of the staff and the time and dedication and the sacrifices they make to do these shows and nobody ever getting anything. So appreciate everybody here at the 110. So help us out. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Help us continue to grow. Help us to start getting back in the studio more and pushing. Let us know that you're out there and you want more content out there. So, like I said, safety to success, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Eastern time, Race Chat Live next Tuesday night. They should be recapping Texas. And then we'll be back in the studio. Hopefully Mario will be joining me next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Show. Guys, have a good one.